Honorable Vice Rector, dear colleagues, students, family, friends. John D. Rockefeller once stated that the best way to know oneself and to know how one is doing in the state of one's own field is to first to know where one came from and to then look around and see what others are doing. It is basic human nature to compare ourselves to one another, to consistently and constantly look at how others are doing now and in the past. This is something we all do in our respective fields, whether we want to admit it or not. However, what many of us do not know, or may not know very well, is the history of our own fields. My field is intercultural communication, what is called ICC here at the University of Jyväskylä. This is a field of communication studies with a long and storied history. So, if you'll indulge me for a few minutes, what I would like to do is provide a brief history of this field that I have known to become very dear to my heart. First of all, I should define intercultural communication. Intercultural communication is a study of communication that takes place between unlike individuals. This is typically understood to mean individuals from different cultural backgrounds and different cultural groups. This discipline also includes cross-cultural and developmental communication, which focus on comparing the same phenomenon in different cultures and studying social change brought about by communication processes. Intercultural communication has been around for thousands of years. Ancient works such as Beowulf, the Ramayana, the Bhagavad Gita, the Iliad, the Odyssey, and etc. All of these works describe intercultural experiences. Homer actually described proper ways for politicians to interact with others from foreign lands. Perhaps Homer was one of the first intercultural communication scholars thousands of years ago, wearing a toga. While such works are considered epic pieces of literature today, their recognition as intercultural communications pieces of literature is not really well recognized, unfortunately. Many communication and intercultural communication scholars in particular consider the start of intercultural communication to be right after World War II. The Foreign Service Institute was established in the United States after World War II to better train American diplomats abroad because it was believed that diplomats had too theoretical of a training during World War II and they didn't have enough practical understanding of different cultures besides the United States. Thus, to facilitate a theoretical and a practical training, top linguistic and anthropological scholars were brought in to discuss ways to improve diplomatic and other individuals' communication skills. Researchers such as Ray Birdwhistell, Frank Hopkins, George Traeger, and Edward T. Hall met, and many individuals call this the first official meeting of intercultural communication scholarship. These scholars and many that follow, even to this day, asserted the following. First, culture should be defined and analyzed. Second, culture will affect communication, and this should be studied. Third, theoretical and practical approaches should be adopted for studying culture and how it interacts with other variables. Later, Hall's works, such as Beyond Culture and many others, which shaped this newly defined discipline known as intercultural communication. During the 1960s, not much happened with this newly labeled discipline known as intercultural communication. It sort of laid low. This is rather intriguing, since it would have been very interesting to conduct cross-cultural comparisons during this period of the 1960s, or even intercultural studies, particularly in the United States, what was going on with the whole hippie movement in the US. But nothing happened under the name of intercultural communication. It was during the 1970s that researchers revived the name intercultural communication. The first intercultural researchers developed readers or handbooks, which were published. The National Communication, or the NCA, the largest communication association in the world, established the first division recognizing the significance of intercultural communication as a field within communication studies. In fact, the division at the time became one of the largest and most popular, and it still is today probably one of the largest in the NCA. The 1970s and the 1980s saw a boom in writing, in literature that was considered and called intercultural communication, as more and more researchers started drawing theories and constructs from other disciplines and bringing them into intercultural communication. The key for these researchers was to draw a theory in from psychology, sociology, anthropology, or other communication disciplines and consider culture's effects on communication. And they defined culture in so many ways. Since the 1980s, more approaches and methodologies have developed. Furthermore, researchers are increasingly showing the practical importance of intercultural communication with the development of hands-on work in areas such as intercultural communication competence, which has shown itself to be a very important word and a very important phrase for corporations and others who want to look at the practical significance of communication. Today, researchers conduct intercultural communication work using a varied plethora of methods. The Intercultural Communication Division is, as I said, one of the largest in the NCA, and it's one of the largest in the International Communication Association, the largest international association in communication. There are at least 15 journals in communication alone that identify themselves as focusing on intercultural, cross-cultural, or developmental communication issues. The NCA reported in 2008 that the study of intercultural communication issues is the second most requested undergraduate and graduate course in communication programs in the United States and in Asian countries. The most requested course that is one that deals with digital media issues. Our students, just like many of us, do like the internet and the online world, and they do enjoy their technological gadgets. However, the fact that intercultural communication courses are now the fastest growing and one of the most requested classes says something indeed. Students recognize its importance. As the world becomes increasingly interconnected, we can't ignore cultural similarities and differences. One thing intercultural communication helps us do is dissect the numerous aspects of culture. As for the future of the discipline must address a pressing issue. There is a debate within the discipline over what it means to be an intercultural communication researcher. There have been numerous panels, discussions, and so forth over a division or three camps, as I recently heard at an NCA and an ICA convention. There is one camp who only publishes in scholarly journals and books and never sees the world. In fact, there are many individuals who call themselves intercultural communication scholars who have never left their cultural group, who have never left the nation they live in, and consider themselves a worldly person. The second camp travels the world, rarely, if ever, publishes, and is really a tourist of sorts. At one of these conventions, I heard of a course where the reading list included four Lonely Planet books, and not a single book that dealt with theory at all. When the person was asked about this, they said, well, it's more important they understand about travel in countries and less about why we're different. I wonder about that course, and I wonder about their parents, especially since in the U.S., parents pay for tuition predominantly. The third camp publishes in scholarly journals and also in books. They meet their research requirement, and they also go outside of their comfort zone and they see the world. They live intercultural communication in many ways. More and more, the intercultural communication field, and I bet their administrators in their department, are taking this camp more seriously and negating what the first and second camp see and say as being intercultural communication. In the future, the location of intercultural communication will be more integrated in academic programs. What you see at many US and Asian universities is intercultural communication as a course required for almost all undergraduate students. Students are finding this to be of monumental importance and aid for them. Moreover, faculty, advisors, and parents consistently tell administrators that they think their students and their children, in this case, and young adults, are more well-rounded after learning about cultural diversity and the significance of culture. Second, the job market is vibrant for intercultural communication graduates. Employers increasingly want their employees to be multilingual, but also to understand cultural diversity. This places intercultural communication at the forefront of job market supply and demand. Third, intercultural communication will continue to develop in its practical and theoretical rigor. The overwhelming majority of intercultural research focuses on three main research trends: identity negotiation and management, intercultural competence, and cultural adaptation issues. In the future, I see intercultural communication developing not only these lines of research, but also expanding to better explore issues of digital media and culture, globalization, cultural fusion, and moving away from issues of assimilation, and the influence of religion on cultural interactions. Fourth, and this is already happening in some places, researchers will need to leave the ivory towers of academia and work with non-academics. Our research is great, and we need to conduct it for many practical and theoretical reasons, but it's useless unless we get it in the hands of academics and non-academics. This is an imperative for intercultural researchers who regularly address issues of poverty, conflict, immigration, and globalization, all issues that could and possibly should have practical relevance for communities. In conclusion, I would like to thank all of you for attending today. In particular, I'd like to thank the Vice Rector, members of my department, who I see all around the room. Thank you for being here. I see a few students as well, so thank you for being here as well, all the family and friends of those here, and I'd also like to thank my husband for being here in Finland with me. Kiitos.